Joining us now on the line from Sana'a in Yemen, we have political information analyst Hisham Omaisi. Hisham, once again, jazakumullah for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome. Hisham, can you hear me? Assalamu alaikum. Ah, I think the connection on Skype dropped just as I was about to commence the discussion with Hisham. We'll try and get him back on the Skype line, and the Skype line works much clearer, especially when it comes to those that we are interviewing internationally. It's also more cost-effective. You know, you hear that sound on Skype when the call terminates. I got that sound as feedback in my earphone. Okay, I think we have Hisham now on the line. Hisham, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah once again for joining us. I read the other day in a report that General Mansour said that Saudi is stuck now in a static war in Yemen. Do you think that's an accurate description?
It is, actually. They haven't been making much progress for the past few months, despite the fact that the Yemen government is back in the country, despite the fact that they've taken most of the southern regions in Yemen, but they're basically in a stalemate right now.
Do you think, or do you get any indication that they have an endgame here? Do they really know what they want, or are they clueless at the moment?
Well, they do, I believe, have a goal of basically eradicating the Houthis, which is an illogical goal. You cannot basically wipe out a whole part of the population. There are very significant numbers of Houthis in the country, and of course Saleh supporters as well. They're very intent on decisively and militarily ending them, which is not possible, which is not logical, which is basically why they're stuck in a stalemate. You cannot just wipe out a whole part of the population and expect to win the war by that. You need to reach some sort of a compromise, bring them back to the table, get some sort of a deal going on. Unfortunately, they're insisting on a decisive military win, which is not going to happen in 10 months, not even in 10 years. You'll crush that part of the population. That part of the population has families, has supporters, has children. They'll grow up and they will launch another rebellion, which basically is what happened with the Houthis over the past 10 years and throughout 6 wars. You crush them, they come back. You crush them, their supporters and their families come back. Unfortunately, they haven't learned that lesson, and they're trying to achieve it again now, which is not going to happen.
I'm sure Saudi is looking for a kind of exit strategy which won't leave them with too much of egg on their face. You talk about bringing the Houthis back to the table. Would that leave Saudi looking very weak? Is there a way where the situation can be resolved and at the same time Saudi Arabia gets to save some face, if I can put it that way?
Well, the fact is a lot of people agree that we need to bring in some sort of a third party onto the table. You need some people who are respected by both sides to call for cooler heads to prevail. Unfortunately, the people who are now on the negotiations table, everybody is sticking to his... They're trying to basically get the other side to comply with their own terms, which basically is not going to happen right now. They're trying to get the Houthis out of the capital after they destroyed their strongholds everywhere else. After doing that, don't expect them to go back to the Badlands and stay there. Don't expect them to relinquish power. You need some sort of a compromise. But because the people on the negotiating table are the hardliners, you're not getting a deal. You're not getting a compromise solution. That's why they need a third party, people who have not joined either side, people who are not non-partisan, and sort of allow Saudi to save face. Saudi keeps insisting that they need a decisive military win, which is not going to happen. But of course, they're not going to back down. They need an exit strategy, as you said very well. And for that, they need that third party to propose that exit strategy.
In your opinion, Hisham, who would be a good third party in this situation?
Well, there are people, Yemeni diplomats, some people from the international community, who have not taken sides, who have not joined the Houthis or Saleh, who have not stayed were against Saudi. And those people are very well primed to step in, and both sides would listen to those guys. People like, I would say, for instance, like Mustafa Nu'man. He is an ex-ambassador of Yemen. He's a very respected and well-respected figure. Both sides respect him. A lot of the independent folks respect him. and he has a lot of reach with the international community as well, that kind of person could lead those kind of negotiations.
Where does this leave Ali Abdullah Saleh? We know in the initial days when Saudi started its onslaught on Yemen, he seemed to be quite desperate. He seemed to be looking for refuge. They seemed to be shunning him. One gets the impression these days he's on much more solid footing.
To be honest, that is exactly how you described it. Remember, there was a revolution that started in Yemen back in 2011, and they wanted to oust the president, back then President Ali Abdullah Saleh. Unfortunately, it was Saudi Arabia that saved him, and they put him back in Yemen, part of the regime, through the reconciliation. And now, of course, Ali Abdullah Saleh has turned against Saudi. Unfortunately, now because they have put Saleh and the Houthis in the same trench, they have basically reinforced his position in the country as a guy who is defending the country against the Saudis. A lot of people who stood against Saleh in the beginning in 2011 and are now with him against Saudi. That is basically what happens when you have people fighting the country from outside. People rally around the guy who's on the inside, even if they did not like him in the beginning. Right now, they will have to shake hands with him. It's a matter of fact. They cannot just eliminate him. And through time, hopefully within the coming few years, he'll be phased out, just like everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Now, all the while, the situation on the ground is very dire. We are reading reports about difficulties and hardships in places like Taiz, newborn babies who need incubators and are dying after a few hours because there isn't oxygen, camels being used to smuggle oxygen cylinders and tanks. Can you paint a bit of a picture for us whilst all of this political maneuvering and back-channeling takes place, how all of this is playing out on the ground in Yemen?
Sure. Let's start at the top. Yemen, there's a blockade, a commercial blockade being enforced in Yemen. In a country like Yemen, where they import 90% food, 100% of its fuel, and drugs, and etc., the situation on the ground rapidly deteriorates, and there is an urgent humanitarian need for a lot of aid. There's 82% of the population that need humanitarian aid. But again, the situation in places like the capital is not as bad as it is in Taiz. Taiz, the Houthis are besieging three enclaves with a population of about 200,000 people stuck in there. So you can imagine, when the whole country is essentially under blockade, on top of that, there's an internal siege on 200,000 people there, the situation is catastrophic. Almost 26 out of the 29 hospitals that are in Taiz have shut down. And when there's an active war and battles going on there, the situation is catastrophic. There are a lot of people there who need drugs. A lot of people there, the kids, the children, because there's no electricity in the hospitals, so when a mother gives birth there, the incubators are not working. There's no oxygen for the people who are sick in the hospitals. And in Taiz, there's no water. There's no food. The Houthis are basically blocking every little thing from coming into the city, including water, drugs, and food. People are basically being suffocated to death inside that enclave.
Dire indeed. Al-Qaeda within Yemen and representatives of ISIS, what's happening on that front?
Well, the fact is the expansion of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other radical groups. Of course, you have also now tribal warlords. And those people are expanding their control during the non-existence of a central government. Al-Qaeda and ISIS, over the past few months, they've taken whole provinces. They've taken cities. As a matter of fact, just a couple of days ago, they took the second largest city in Shabwa, which is the oil and gas-rich province of Yemen. Earlier, they took the oil-rich province of Yemen, Hadramaut. They took the biggest city there, Mukalla, and they'll continue to rapidly expand when there is no real government to fight them. The Saudi-led coalition made it very clear since the onset that they're not there to fight Al-Qaeda or ISIS. They're there to fight the Houthis. The problem with this is that while they're fighting the Houthis, and the infrastructure and the government is being obliterated, there's ample room for such groups, such Al-Qaeda and ISIS, to expand and gain more land. And they've been basically expanding rapidly. We did not have ISIS in Yemen before the war. Now you have them expanding everywhere, including the capital in Aden, the secondary capital of the Yemeni government in Aden. They're roaming the city freely. Every few days they launch attacks, suicide bombers. They attack the Yemeni government itself. And the lack of insecurity is staggering.
With regards to Iran, we know this has always been an issue, and Saudi has raised it from time to time. But as things have played out, has Iran been influencing in any way, contributing, assisting in any way?
Well, let's describe one thing clearly. There's a lot of press and media when they say Houthis are Iranian-backed. I wouldn't say backed. They're not getting a lot of support from Iran. I would say Houthis are Iranian-aligned. They have the same, basically, ideology. They follow their edicts. But they're not backed by the Iranians. If they were, they would put up a much bigger fight. If this war extends or is prolonged, the Saudis have deep pockets. They could basically sustain the war for quite longer. But the Houthis and the Salafis, they won't be able to. They're not getting that much support from the Iranians.
Is there a reason that Iran chooses not to support them?
Iranians are smart. They have their own interests at heart. Yes, they would use the Houthi card to basically rub it in the face of the Saudis, but I wouldn't say they would put a footing on the ground with the Houthis. They basically, there's a lot of rumor, there's a lot of talk that the Iranians are using the Houthis to drain the Saudis. They've been basically, they kept the Saudis distracted in Yemen while they continued their own political ventures to get their sanctions lifted. They're striking a lot of deals in Europe and the world, while Saudi is being stuck in Yemen in a war that seems to be endless.
Mm-hmm. Hisham, while all of this is going on, you know, what's the psyche like of the Yemen people, Yemeni people? We know that nations like Yemen, they become very resilient over time because of the difficulties that they go through. Is that resilience, is it managing to hold?
Yes, it is. Initially, at the beginning of the war, 10 months ago, a lot of people were very upset. They thought they were not going to survive the war. But after 10 months, people got used to it. They're adopting it as a way of life. But here's the problem. While becoming resilient, a lot of people are being galvanized. Yemen was a very generous country. We basically invite all foreigners here. Today in Sana'a, unfortunately, people are galvanized. They're being radicalized. Over the past few weeks, there have been a lot of campaigns that have been launched in the city that are anti-West. For the past 2 days, in Sana'a, in the capital, you see a lot of billboards that are anti-U.S. There was a huge demonstration a couple of days ago that was basically anti-U.S. They're demonizing the U.S. and they're demonizing Saudi, and soon they'll demonize the rest of the world, and you'll have a very radical population.
Mm. Finally, Hisham, you know, whilst we have all of these discussions, let's go right back to the beginning. In your opinion, what was Saudi's actual intention when they decided to start this onslaught against Yemen, to start bombing and to start attacking? Is it all about the oil route that we hear about, the Mandeb Strait, and the oil shipments that flow through there? Is it about blocking Iran? But you've already explained that Iran doesn't really back the Houthis, even though the Houthis may be aligned. What's the real motivation for the Saudis?
Well, you have to look at the history. Saudi Arabia, for the past few decades, they kept a very strong network of patronage inside the country. Back in 2011, when there was a revolution here in Yemen, they lost the usual suspects. They're basically puppets inside the country. They wanted to have that back in place, and that is exactly why they supported even Saleh himself, whom used to be one of their proxies as well inside the country. They used to pay him heftily, in addition to the traditional leaders and the tribal leaders in the country. And back, of course, before the war started, when the Houthis basically turned the table and everyone else, including Saleh, turning against Saudi and joining the Houthis, the Saudis lost it. They lost that patronage network inside the country. They want that network back. They want to have control of Yemen, because they've always had it for the past few decades as well. And this is basically and essentially the main reason Saudi waged war in Yemen. All the other stuff mend the oil routes, basically the Iranian-Saudi conflict. All of that is just on the top. Down deep in the roots of the conflict is that Saudi does not lose its network of patronage inside the country. They always want to have leaders in Yemen that control the country on their behalf. And of course the Houthis will never be puppets for the Saudis. They are vehemently anti-Saudi. And if they got to rule, Saudis would have totally lost Yemen.
Mm-hmm. Hisham Maisi, jazakumullah so much for your time and for the update, and the people of Yemen continue to remain in our duas.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Hisham Maisi, a political and information analyst, giving us an update from Yemen. Very comprehensive. A lot of insight there, a lot of perspective into the different aspects that cover the issue of Yemen.